Amen. We finished up last week, of course, 21 Days of Hunger with our celebration of praise on Sunday night. And what an incredible outpouring of God's power and His presence we experienced on Sunday night. If you were here Sunday night, let me see your hand if you were here. What an incredible, just an amazing night. This church was packed with people from all across the Hudson Valley and upstate. We had people from up above Syracuse and Hudson Falls, Glens Falls, people from down near the city. I mean, it was just amazing how the Lord just brought so many people together who are hungry for His presence. And as we worshiped, it's just the skies were opened. Amen. And the word that came forth, hallelujah. Amen. I was talking to Pastor Derek. I said, we got to have you back on a Sunday morning so you can share your testimony, the full version. You got to hear the testimony of this brother, how miraculous it was. So it was just an incredible, incredible day. Amen. Oh, by the way, I want to welcome those who are joining us by way of live stream. God bless you. It's good to have you joining us today in the Mission Church. And my name is Pastor Greg Johnson. I have the privilege of serving as lead pastor here. And so excited to see what God has been doing over these 21 days of hunger. How many believe that God has shifted things in your life? Let me see your hand. God, there's been a shifting. Amen? A new season. Amen? Hallelujah. Never going to be the same again, right? Come on. Amen? Never going to be the same again. Because of something that happened over these 21 days of hunger. May not see it, may not feel it, may not hear it, but I know it because my faith is evidence of things hoped for and substance of things not seen, right? Amen? Praise the Lord. And I've been hearing testimonies of so many incredible things that God has been doing. And I know I could probably take all morning and just go around the room and let so many people share what God has been doing, but instead of doing that, I thought maybe I'd have one individual come who has a powerful testimony, and maybe she can kind of represent what God has been doing in all of our lives. So I'm going to ask Alba if she would come on up here. How many know Alba? We love you, Alba. Come on up. God bless you. So I'm going to give you that, and you have to give it back eventually now, you know. Hallelujah. So, the Lord has done something
amazing,
right?
Amazing.
Why don't you tell us about it?
So, my God, my God, your God, my God. Last July, I was diagnosed with lupus. For those who don't know what lupus is, it is a type of cancer, and it attacks your entire body, your entire immune system. So, by August, I had been referred to countless doctors. I was going to, days, I was going to three different doctors per day. That also included working and coming to church, because I was not going to give up coming to church.
Three different doctors?
Per day.
A day?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So, in October, my rheumatologist said that my platelets were in the 80s, and it should have been in the thousands. I was in danger of having a heart attack, a brain hemorrhage, or a lung collapse, all of which caused death. So she referred me to a doctor. I'm a researcher. I research doctors because I want to know if they've been sued. Mm-hmm. I work for lawyers, so we want to know if they're getting sued, right? For some reason, I didn't research this doctor, and Eddie asked me if he would go to the doctor with me, and I said, no, they're probably just going to take more blood, and, you know, don't worry about it. You can stay home. I did not know it was the cancer center that I had been sent to. So it took me a whole 5 minutes to even register that I was in front of the cancer center. And it took me longer to actually walk through those doors. At that point, I texted some powerful praying women in this church. And immediately they texted me back. I also texted my husband, and he sent me a picture. He says, you are where you're supposed to be. I am where I need to be. He was on his knees with my Bible in his hands, praying for me. And I knew that that's where he needed to be. And I go in, and I knew what the doctor was testing for. He was testing more than just lupus. He was testing for leukemia. And the tests were being sent to Minnesota or some M state. Because I, at that point, I couldn't even think what state they were being sent to. And he told me it's going to take 6 weeks to 8 weeks to get my results back. And so the waiting began. And now it's getting close to Thanksgiving. And I know that I need to fast and pray. I already had it in my heart that I needed to fast and pray. And I needed to start now. But I didn't want to, because Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holidays and the parties, I didn't want to. Well, the weekend after Thanksgiving, it was a Saturday, I went to a sister's house. And she prayed for me. And she said, Alba, she says, I don't know what to tell you, but I've started my fast, and I'm changing my diet, and I'm going to get healthy. I knew then that that moment I had to start fasting and praying, and I had to give up Thanksgiving and, you know, Christmas and the parties and the donuts and the cookies. So I started fasting and praying then. Fast forward to early January, and I go to my rheumatologist. And she says, Alba, I don't know what you're doing, but there's no swelling in your joints. And she said, I don't find any swelling, so we're going to have to take x-rays to make sure, because I can't believe it. I mean, she literally went, I cannot believe there's no. So I had x-rays. She comes into the room, like, laughing. And says, whatever you're doing, keep doing it, because it's working. Something is happening.
Wow. Amen.
Amen, right? Yeah. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. I went to my oncologist. And he said, well, you know, the results came back. They're a little weird. But he says, but for some reason, there's something that I need to do.
They're a little what?
They're a little weird.
Weird.
Yeah, and that's the words
that's
he used.
That's
he
the doctor's said, official
yeah,
diagnosis.
Official diagnosis.
It's a little
they're
weird.
They're a little weird, but let me take some more blood. So he takes more blood, and he comes back in, and he takes blood again. Three times he took blood. And you know there's power in numbers, right? So three times he took my blood, and he comes back, and he goes, I can't figure it out. There's nothing wrong with your blood.
Wow.
My diabetes is below diabetic level. My blood platelets were normal.
Right.
And there was absolutely no, it didn't show any swelling in my body. It didn't show anything wrong with me.
Wow.
So I wanted to show you. These are the pills I was taking. These are the pills I was taking that were making my hair fall out. These are the pills I stopped taking. So, oh wait, there's more. So, in those 21 days,
wow.
In 21 days of fasting this January, my middle child was baptized in North Dakota. And my 18-month-old grandson, who has Down syndrome, has had 7 operations, had never eaten in his life because his esophagus does not contract, was able to eat for the first time. So that's what
Hallelujah.
My God has done for me and will continue
so
to
awesome.
Heal. My land.
So awesome. Woo! Hallelujah! Wow. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Give God, we give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, God. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I want you to remain standing, please. Thank you, Abba, for sharing. Thank you so much for sharing that testimony. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we're so thankful, God. You're the healer. You're the healer, God. When we hear a testimony like this, we have to just stop. And we have to just contemplate on who you are, what your power is, and what you're not only capable of, but what you are willing to do, God, in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. That your presence would move in this sanctuary with your healing power, Lord, in the name of Jesus. If you're here today, you need a healing touch in your body, right where you're standing, right where you're standing. Just lift up your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just begin to talk to the Lord right now and thank Him for His healing power. Just thank Him for His healing power. Thank Him for His goodness and His mercy. Thank You that You are the God that heals. Thank You are the God that brings health and wholeness back into our bodies, where the doctors want to give us medicine and prescribe drugs. And not that we're against the doctors, Lord God, but we know that Your way, Lord, is perfect. Your way, Lord God, is miraculous, Lord, that You're the great physician. You're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up those hands. Come, Holy Spirit, in sovereign power, and just begin to move throughout this sanctuary. Come, Holy Spirit, just begin to move up and down these aisles and in throughout these rows of seats, and begin to touch bodies in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Hallelujah. Now just say, Lord, I receive that healing touch. Come on, talk to the Lord right now. Just tell Him, I receive it, Lord. I receive healing in the name of Jesus. I receive healing, that bodies would be healed, bones would be restored, muscles would be renewed, cartilage, vertebrae, headache pain would go, knee pain would be healed, elbow pain would be transformed, sickness in our systems, the flu, bacteria, virus would go in Jesus' name. We declare sickness to be a trespasser. We declare that sickness and infirmity has no right in our systems, because we have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, who is our healer, Jehovah Rapha, by whose stripes we are healed. We declare it. We acclaim it. We, Lord, we believe You for it. And we receive it. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. Come on, just thank Him. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for healing. Thank You, Lord, for healing. Thank You, Lord, for Your healing power, Lord. Great and awesome and mighty God. Thank You, Lord. Nothing too difficult. Nothing too difficult for You, Lord. Amen. We receive it. Amen. I receive it. Come on, declare it. I receive it. In Jesus' name. You may be seated. Just in case you're new to our church and perhaps you're just wondering this morning, we believe that God heals. We believe that He is a miracle worker, and that He still heals and touches and transforms bodies and lives today. Amen. 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 Well, I want to take a few minutes and share something from the Word that's on my heart today. I want to talk to you from the subject, keep on marching. Keep on marching. Can you say that with me? Keep on marching. It's a reference to the story of Joshua and the army of Israel marching around Jericho until the walls came down. And I believe that in this story, there are some great lessons for us about prayer, because we believe in prayer, right? Now, I know some people we hear testimonies like the one we just heard from Alba and many others that we've been hearing about, how God has done things in these lives and touched these lives. And sometimes when we hear these testimonies, it leaves us thinking, what about me, Lord? What about me? What about my child who still is a prodigal? What about my family member who still is sick? What about my financial crisis that is still looming? Lord, where's my miracle? And I believe that if there ever was a story in the Word of God that served as an allegory for praying through to breakthrough, I believe it's the story of Joshua marching around the walls of Jericho. Because we need to understand that when we're in this season of waiting and seeking and marching for that deliverance, the enemy will come alongside of us and begin to whisper into our ears. And it'll begin to challenge our faith and tell us, you see, God doesn't care about you. You see, that prayer stuff doesn't really work. Or maybe he'll take it to a whole new level and say, you see, you're not good enough for God. You're not worthy of him to do a miracle in your life. And the enemy comes alongside and he begins to try and isolate us and separate us and attack us with all of this condemnation. But today, I want to encourage you, though you're standing before your Jericho and the walls are looming large, that God has given you a word that the walls will come down, but you have to keep on marching. Come on, say it with me. Keep on marching. Go to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5 there. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." Now Jericho was a city that contained the enemies of Israel that God told Joshua to drive out of the land, to utterly destroy them, everything that they own, everything that they are, to totally wipe them out. And Jericho, to us today, represents that impasse in your life. It's that Goliath that you're facing. It's that den of lions that you've been cast into. It's that burning fiery furnace that you're standing before and you're intimidated by. It's that Red Sea that is before you and the armies of Pharaoh are closing in behind you, and to the right and to the left is nothing but desert, and you don't know how you're going to get through this season, this impasse, this Jericho, these walls in your life. You're believing God for a breakthrough. You're believing God for a turnaround. And it's something that only God can do. Everybody say, only God. I mean, you're facing something, only God can turn this thing around, right? You're looking for that job, that breakthrough in your career. You're looking for your child, maybe that child who doesn't speak to you or hasn't spoken to you for years, and you need a turnaround, you need a breakthrough in that relationship. Maybe there's a sickness you've been battling for years, and even today, after 21 days of hunger, the infirmity is still in your body. Whatever that thing is that you're facing, it's looming large before you, and only God can make a way where there is no way. So what do you do? What do we do when the answer doesn't come? What do we do? Well, the way I see it, we have two choices. One, you can bury yourself in pity and complain and murmur and accuse God of failing you. You can throw your Bible away. You can stop going to church. You can get rid of all your worship CDs. Or you can keep on marching. Come on, say it with me again. Keep on marching. Now, what does that mean? What does that even mean, keep on marching? It means that you will do what Job did, who lost his home, lost his family, lost his health, lost his wealth. And Job chapter 1 says that he arose and he tore his robe and he shaved his head and he fell to the ground and he worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came in and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then it says, in all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. It means to keep on marching, that you'll do what David did, who returned with his army to Ziklag, only to find the Philistines had burned their city to the ground, had taken captive all of their women and all of their children, and David's men spoke of stoning him. But the scripture says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, rallied his faith, rallied his troops, and they went and found those Philistines, and they destroyed them, and they recovered everything. I said they recovered everything. Hallelujah. How many know we serve a God who brings recovery? Amen. He's a God of restoration. Nobody lost anything. Why? Because one man encouraged himself in the Lord. It means to keep on marching, that you'll do what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, who were told that if they didn't bow before the golden idol, that they would be cast into that burning fiery furnace. And they said to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, they said, we don't need to be careful. I like how they said, we don't need to be careful in how we respond to you. We're not worried about being tactful or diplomatic right now. They said this, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not bow. We will not turn our back on our God. We will not throw our Bible away. We will not quit the church. We will not curse our God. We will stay faithful and devoted to him. Hallelujah. Faith in God, I say it all the time, is not getting God to give us what we want. Faith in God is remaining steadfast and devoted, trusting him even when we don't get what we want. Keep on marching. Come on, just poke somebody and tell them, keep on marching. I love that song that we sang right after the offering today. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You have never failed me yet. So here's Joshua. He's standing before this stronghold, this impasse in his life. In verse 2, chapter 6, verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. Now, let's be clear. He's standing here looking at Jericho. Nothing has changed. The walls are there. The armies of Jericho are safely inside, waiting for the battle, right? The walls are strong. Nothing has changed, right? But God says, while Joshua is looking at this massive stronghold of the enemy before him, God says to him, look at it and realize that I have given it into your hands. Hallelujah. That's a word for somebody today. You're facing an incredible giant, a huge impasse, and the Lord wants you to hear the Holy Spirit whispering into your spirit today, saying, see, look at it, but as you're looking at it, realize I have given it into your hands, its king and all of its mighty men of valor. Nothing, hallelujah, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now listen, here's the thing. All that's about to take place with Joshua and the army of Israel marching began with that word from God. It started with a word from God about his Jericho. And I've been saying this over the 21 days of hunger. If you're going to have a breakthrough, it's going to start with a word from God's word about your situation. You got to get a word from God's word about your situation. Amen? Joshua knew God's will for Jericho. I have given Jericho into your hands. It's yours. What is God's word for your situation? What does his word say? What did you read in his word about your Jericho at the beginning of 21 days of hunger? You got a word from God. You saw it there clearly. The will of God for your situation. Maybe it was a lost loved one. You saw in the word where it says he's not willing that any should perish. And you held on to that word. Maybe it was a word for a new job, where in Timothy it says that a man should provide for his own household. So you're believing. That's God's will. You're holding on. You had that word. Maybe there's a decision. Maybe there you need some guidance. You need some. There's something before you, a huge decision, and you need God to make it crystal clear in your life. Well, in James it says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. And so at the beginning of 21 days, you got a hold of those words. You held on to those words. I want to remind you that the word of God never fails. That his word is forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. That the word of God stands. And we have to stand on his word. Let me give you a couple more. Maybe you're Jericho. Is a prodigal son or a daughter. I want to give you a scripture that I pray in my family. Isaiah 59:21. I love this. The Lord says, my words which I have put in your mouth. How many have God's word in their mouths? Amen? Shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time forevermore. I don't know about you, but I'm claiming that as God's word for my family, for my children, and for my children's children, and for my children's 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 children. Amen? Hallelujah. Maybe your Jericho is made up of people harassing you or attacking you. Let me remind you of Isaiah 54:17 that says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, says the Lord. Maybe your Jericho is some sort of a loss or a tragedy or a crisis that is looming over you, and you don't know what you're going to do. You've been thrust into a difficult season. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Listen, the word of God has not changed. The word of God is still the same. When the year started and you started claiming promises for your job or for your family or for your health or whatever it was, the word of God still stands. And we need to stand on the word of God. We need to say, Lord, you said that though the floods come, Lord, I will not drown, that you'll be with me. Though the fires burn, Lord God, you'll help me to come through the fire, God. Lord, though my children won't talk to me and are cursing you, Lord, Lord, I'm going to believe that the word of the Lord is not going to depart from their mouth or from their children's mouths or from their children. We need to stand on the word of God and keep on marching. This is what marching around our Jericho is all about. It's circling our faith around these areas of our lives that are out of alignment with God's will. You understand what I'm saying? He has his will in heaven. Jesus told us to pray that way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, the will you have in heaven, let it be done on earth. We understand that God has a will, but we understand that very, very often the things in our lives or in the lives of the people around us, they're out of alignment with the will of God, right? Our role here is to pray that God will work His will in those situations. And one of the ways that we do that is we stand on God's word and we speak God's word by faith. We declare by faith the word of God over that sickness, over that prodigal child, over that financial hardship, over that sickness in our body. We declare the word of God. How many know the word of God has more power than my words and your words? Amen? We declare we declare the word of God because Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is quick, it's living, it's powerful, it's active. It pierces to the asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrows of the bone. The word of God is alive. It's active. Hallelujah. Isaiah said that his word will not return void, but it will accomplish the purposes for which it has been sent. Hebrews 11:3 says that by faith, the worlds were framed by the word of God. How many following with me right now? In the beginning, you know what it says in Genesis 1. It says that the earth was without form and void and covered in darkness. The earth, the world was a mess. It was chaos. It was disorder until God spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And when God spoke, the authority of His word is omnipotent and irresistible, and all chaos had to come into alignment with the spoken word of God. Hallelujah. And now we have the word of God. It's not my word. It's no power that I have. I stand on the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, and I stand on the authority of His written word, and I declare, by His stripes you shall be healed. I declare by the authority of God's word that you are saved, and because you're saved, hallelujah, everyone in your household should be saved. And as we speak the word of God, not my word, not some parking lot prophet's word, the word of God. Listen, when I go into prayer, I take the word of God. Most of my prayer time is just reciting the word of God back to Him and saying, "Lord, let me remind you of what you promised. Let me remind you, not that you have forgotten, God. I'm reminding you because my faith is big enough to stand on the words that you've said. And I'm reminding you, God, that I'm standing on your word." Hallelujah. Tell somebody, keep on marching. Come on, you got to keep circling. You got to keep circling around that thing, whatever it is, by faith, declaring the word of God, speaking the word of God. "See, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king, and all of its mighty men of valor." Verse 3, "You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days." How many days? 6 days. "And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But on the seventh," what day? Wait a minute. I already got to march 6 days. I got to march a seventh day? And then it says, "On the seventh day you shall march around the city." What? Seven times? I've already spent 7 days marching around the thing. Now on the last day, I got to march around it 7 times? "And the priests shall blow the trumpets." This reminds me so much of praying for a breakthrough. Come on, tell somebody, keep on marching. A couple things we need to realize. First, God does His will in response to our participation. God could have knocked those walls down the first time Joshua laid eyes on them. God could have just wiped those walls right out, right? When God said, "See, I've given Jericho into your..." Boom, the walls could have come. God could have done it, amen? We know that, right? But He required the marching. You see that? He required the marching. Why? Because God requires us to be co-laborers together with Him. God has put us in this world as expressions of His body, ambassadors of His kingdom, agents of His authority to interact with this world and make an impact in this world by being an agent of causing His will to happen. That's why Jesus said, "Say, 'Our Father, let your will in heaven be done here on earth. That's our job. That's our duty. That's our responsibility. God wills, and then he, what does he do? He waits. God wills, and then he waits. What does he wait for? He waits for someone on earth with faith and authority to say, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the first thing that we need to realize. God requires marching. Secondly, the second thing that we need to realize is that Israel, they were told to march 7 days and then seven times on the seventh day. Their marching was to be persistent and consistent. Everybody say persistent. Now say consistent. God answers prayer in response to persistent and consistent faith. Now thank God for the miraculous intervention and the immediate turnaround. Amen? And they happen, don't they? Most of the time, however, in my experience, it has required marching. It has required persistent and consistent faith. Persistence is the capacity to remain consistent in a course of action in the face of contrary conditions. Understand this. For 6 days, they marched. And during every one of those 6 days, nothing changed. Now, you might expect that maybe during the end of the first day, there might be a few cracks appearing in the wall, but there were no cracks. You might expect that maybe at the end of the second day, or maybe towards the middle of the third day, you'd start to feel a little trembling, a little rumbling in the ground, but no rumbling or trembling was felt. You might expect that during the fourth day, maybe in the fifth day, there might be some dark clouds gathering and maybe some lightning and some storms, and you would see some signs and some wonders that the marching was having some kind of effect. But at the end of that time, there were no lightnings and there were no thunderings. You might expect that maybe on that seventh day, they might have seen some bricks coming loose. Maybe as they went around the first time on that seventh day, and the second time, and the third time, and the fourth. But every time around that wall, there was no crack, there was no shaking, there were no bricks coming loose at all. Nothing changed during the course of the marching. Everybody say, keep on marching. There was no evidence of change. Nothing changed, but Joshua was persistent and he was consistent because he knew the word that God had given him. He had seen it in his mind's eye, and he knew that if he followed the course that God had given him by faith, everybody say by faith. It wasn't by his strength, it was by faith that God would do. Now, some of us, during these 21 days of hunger, you have been praying and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. There's no signs of intervention. There's no signs of turnaround. There have been no calls on your resume. Your kids still are not talking to you. The sickness has gotten worse in your body. The enemy is whispering in your ear. Condemnation is taking hold. Your faith is starting to diminish. But I'm here to tell you, you got to keep on marching. You got to keep on marching. 21 days of hunger may be over, but the marching is not. Amen? I was talking to someone and they said, what do we do when nothing changes? And I said, I'm right there with you because I've been praying for some things in my life and I've been praying for years and there hasn't been changes. And maybe I've seen some changes come and then they've pulled back. How many know what I'm talking about? It's like you feel like I'm seeing, you know, I'm feeling like 3 steps forward, but then something happens 2 steps back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? For some of you, it's like, yeah, 3 steps forward and about 37 steps back. Right? And it just doesn't seem like anything is changing at all, right? And we were talking about praying for our kids and praying for our kids and our prodigals and how, you know, we pray and it doesn't seem to be anything changes. And then I told the story about my pastor, my first pastor when I got saved. His name was Pastor Gunn, J.L. Gunn, Pastor J.L. Gunn. And he used to tell us this story that he was one of 4 brothers living outside of Detroit, Michigan, one of 4 brothers. And And before that, they were saved. These guys, they were terrors. I mean, they were just criminals. They were getting arrested. They were getting busted. They were doing all kinds. They were just really, really bad guys. Really bad dudes. Right, Pastor Paul? You know what I'm talking about, right? Really bad dudes, right? And their mom would pray for them every day. Thank God for praying moms, amen? Thank God for praying grandmoms. Now, here's the thing. He would tell us, he would say, his mother went to her grave, never seeing the fruits of her prayer. Never saw any one of her sons come to Christ. She went home to be with the Lord. But you know what? After she passed and went to be with the Lord, all four of her sons, not only did they get saved, but they all ended up in the ministry, preaching the gospel, including my pastor, under whose ministry I got saved. And because of his ministry, I'm standing here today in this pulpit as your pastor. All because of what? The prayers of a mom who kept on marching. She kept on marching. Hallelujah. You see, we just think about, oh, I want my son to get saved, my daughter to get saved, but we don't understand the long-reaching implications that come as a result of that. And that's why the enemy is fighting so hard. But you got to keep on marching. Amen. Keep on marching. Listen, here's the point. Even though you can't see any evidence of things changing, God is moving. Even though the conditions don't reveal it, something happens when we pray. Even though it may not feel like it, may not sound like it, something happens when we pray. All of heaven goes into motion on our behalf. Hallelujah. Don't stop praying for your kids, because God is moving things into alignment. It may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, but God is beginning to move people into their lives at just the right moment to begin to speak the gospel to them. Hallelujah. Keep praying for your business and your career, because God is the God of perfect timing, and he's arranging clients and opening up doors and opportunities, right? Amen. You can't see it. You can't feel it. There's no evidence of it. That's okay. The wall hasn't shaken. The wall hasn't cracked. Nothing seems to be changing. But you got to keep on marching. Hallelujah. There's another thing that we need to realize as we look at Israel, is that in God's eyes, the march is often more valuable than the miracle. The march has more value than the miracle. This was only the first battle for Israel. There were many more cities. Some were walled cities with giants, iron chariots, skilled armies, and Israel would have to face them one by one. They had many other Jerichos to face after this one. And God was trying to do something in them during that march. God was trying to take their faith and their ability to trust God when facing insurmountable odds, to know that God is able, no matter what battle, no matter what giant. And the only way that they could learn this lesson was through the marching. I've said it before, God is not interested in pampering us physically. What he's concerned about is perfecting us spiritually. Amen? Come on, tell somebody there's value in the march. There's value in the march. They had to learn how to trust him when the giants, and those giants would come. They had to learn how to trust him. They had to learn how to lean on him when the battle was heavy and the resources were low. They had to learn how to lean and trust in God when one would have to chase 1,000 and two would have to put 10,000 to flight. They had to learn how to trust God that no matter how high the wall, no matter how great the resistance, no matter how dark the circumstance, that God was in control and causing all things to work together for the good in their life. They had to learn that, and the only way that they could learn that was through the marching. Hallelujah. Come on, can you just touch somebody and just say there's value in the march? Keep on marching. Keep on marching. Hallelujah. Paul said, we are hard-pressed, we are perplexed, we are persecuted, we are struck down. But he said, this light affliction, everybody say light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God is trying to turn us into warriors, from baby Christians who just got saved, into mighty men and women of God who can face giants, who can pull down the strongholds of the enemy, who can face any fiery dart by putting up our shield of faith and not becoming afraid or timid or offended or running away, but saying, I'm going to stand on the word of God for my life. And it only happens through the march. Hallelujah. So if your Jericho is going to come down, and it will, you got to keep on marching. Come on, tell somebody how to keep on marching. Got to keep on marching. Hallelujah. And at some point during that march, you've got to learn how to praise your way into victory. Come on, stand with me right now. Joshua 6:5, it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat. Hallelujah. God wanted a shout. He wanted a shout. Now, why did God want them to shout? Because the shout is the sound, the shout of praise is the sound of victory. I said the shout of praise is the sound of victory. Listen, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Silence is for losers. Now, tonight is the Super Bowl. One side of the stadium is going to be really loud. And I know which side. Yeah, okay. But anyway. One side of the stadium is going to be really loud. People shouting, people clapping, people stomping, people high-fiving. Why? Because they're going to be winning. Right? And the other side of the stadium is going to be very quiet. Why? Because they're losing. They're losing. And when we lose, we don't shout. Right? God wants us to look at our Jericho and shout. He wants us to look at that impasse and he wants us to praise. He wants us to praise. And it's not until they praised that the wall, that the cracks started forming and the earth started shaking and the bricks started loosening. It wasn't when the word came from God to Joshua. That's not when it started. It wasn't when they were going through the persistency and the consistency of marching. That's not when it happened. It happened after they had done all of that. They started to praise, and it was when the shout came, that's when the walls fell down. Hallelujah. I'm wondering if we have any conquerors in this place this morning. Actually, I know I'm over my time right now. Not just conquerors, more than conquerors, because you know what a conqueror is? A conqueror is somebody who knows they're conquering because they look at the scoreboard, and the scoreboard says they're conquering. We're not conquerors. We're more than conquerors. See, more than conquerors don't need a scoreboard. More than conquerors, they look at the scoreboard and it doesn't matter how many points down they are. They're more than conquerors. They look at the score and they say, I don't care what that says. Hallelujah, I got a word from God. Jericho is mine, its kings and all of its mighty men of valor. I don't care how thick the walls are, how strong the army is. I don't care how long we've been marching around. We're going to keep on marching and these walls are coming. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Mighty God, we exalt your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Chris, can you lead us in that?